All right, second hour coming to you from Golden One Center. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. If you're just tuning in, Marvin Bagley, there was an update today, and Marvin will miss at least the next 3 weeks after seeing a foot specialist. He'll be reevaluated again in 3 weeks. So time is running out on the season for Marvin Bagley. But there are games. There are 28 game tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies, currently in eighth. I didn't think there was any chance in the world Memphis would be in the playoffs this year. And they're not in the playoffs yet, but I think they will be. I give them a lot of credit. I really do. They've had tremendous year from certain players. They've stayed healthy. They haven't had any serious injuries. And give them credit. They're two games over 500 right now.
Yeah, and I think they're, you know, there's a few players, but I think more than anything, you got to say Dylan Brooks, John Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yep.
Those were the staples of what they were able to do. And, I mean, what is their head coach's name, Grant? Do you even know?
No.
Yeah, exactly. The kid stepped in, and he's done a hell of a job, man. They're playing some good ball. I will give them that credit.
I'll tell you this. When you look at a team like Memphis, okay? You and I went and talked about this yesterday, okay? Now, we're going to find out how they're going to handle success.
Yes.
Because now everybody's understanding.
See him coming.
That's exactly right. And when you look at Taylor Jenkins and the job that he's done, and I was exaggerating when I said it. No, my point is, your point is very well taken.
Right, right.
But when I look at how Taylor Jenkins has coached his team, now he understands, because he's got such a young team, what they're going to be up against. All right? We went through their schedule yesterday and talked about even this trip coming up for them and how daunting it can be. They're going to grow up in a hurry. You've been through this before. They're going to grow up in a hurry.
Well, you know, part of it is you can shock some people, meaning that you look at them, points in the paint, number one. Statistically, you can run through a league and you can make some things happen. All of a sudden, you begin to get scouting on them. And when I say, like, our team scouting them, yeah, but it's different when you see them. They're in front of you. This is going to be now when the money's on the line, and they need to make sure that they not only hold this, keep trying to move up. You're going to get the best shot of a lot of these teams, some of the things that maybe that you were doing. When you look at a guy like Dylan Brooks, who just signed an extension, now you're moving up on a scouting report. And when you move up on a scouting report, are you going to be able to deliver on that stage? A lot of questions. I think John Morant is the real deal. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is the real deal. I think Valanciunas has given them a nice piece on the interior that they can depend on. He's been relatively healthy. So when you put it all together, they put out a good team, but they've also got some really nice cornerstone pieces.
All right, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. It's the Kings and the Memphis Grizzlies coming up for you tonight. What do you expect from Jabari Parker? Now, we don't know how many minutes he's going to play.
Yeah.
But take me through, because you have been through this.
Yes.
Now all of a sudden you're on a different team.
Yep. Midway through the season.
You've only had a couple of practices.
Yep.
So do you just go on your full basketball instinct when you're out there on the floor, or is there a little bit more to it?
No, because what he's going to be trying to do is, you're not going to go totally crazy, because you don't want to step in on anybody's foot. Mm-hmm. You know.
Right. You want to fit in.
You want to, exactly. So he's going to. For instance, I watched him in practice yesterday. Ball swung to him, but he's like, shoot it. He swung it. Ball swings back to him. He's like, shoot it. But there's a, I don't want to really step on anybody's feet type of a scenario. So I think that you're going to see he's probably getting a little ingratiated into his teammates. Okay. They know him. There's some encouragement. So he'll be aggressive, but not. I don't think overly.
Take me through this then. He's got an option this summer. At $6.5 million.
Yes.
That's basically, in today's day and age.
Whose option is that, by the way?
His option.
Okay.
Doesn't he have to show that he's worth more than $6.5 million? And in order to show, doesn't he need the numbers to back that up? And how does that work?
Well, you do need the numbers, but we always talk about numbers on what type of team. And people who have basketball eyes, at least some of the time, I think, can look and say, how is he getting his numbers? Is he contributing? Is he helping them win? There are a lot of different things. I think for him, it's more imperative that he shows that he can start to help winning. Yep. and produce wins and things like that. Because if that is the case, he may – first of all, he may stay here. But he also may want to take less money going someplace where he might have a chance to win a championship immediately. We mentioned Brooklyn and different – I'm laughing on Brooklyn, but you don't understand what I'm saying.
You got,
so that's going to be all up to him and what he's looking for. And I think this is a prime opportunity for him because, listen – not as much is going to be required of you. You're coming in and off the bench. Not only are you coming in off the bench, they're looking for you to score the basketball when you come in, which takes a little bit of pressure off you, thus Buddy Hield.
All right. Again, Grant Napier, Doug Christie. If you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. NFL teams are going to have to get down to some serious business with the start of free agency and franchise tags and tenders and things of that nature. So it's going to be a very interesting period of time coming up in the NFL. It looks like they're going to add a playoff team to each conference. You got spring training starting, I believe, on Saturday, which is hard to believe. We'll be carrying each and every Oakland A's game this season. Unless there is a conflict with the Kings, which would come first. But I think the A's are going to be very good. We're going to start getting into baseball a little bit when the calendar turns to March. Then you got the start of March Madness. And I don't know if you've been studying this. I have not been studying it as much as I will in a few weeks, Doug, when the tournament comes on. But in all of the people that I follow and the people that I have a lot of respect and trust for that cover college basketball, almost to the man, they say this is going to be a very weak draft this summer.
I think that you will be able to find diamonds in the rough, but it's not going to be the top-heavy piece where you got a Zion Williamson at the top, and he is the definitely number one. He's going to come in. He's going to get instant minutes. There will be some good, solid pieces, but you're really going to have to make sure that you're doing your due diligence and you identify and find them. But, you'll find talent. But I would agree, you're speaking more top-heavy type of talent. Your Zions, your those type of players, meaning you're not strong in those. But there's some talent there. You just got to identify it for sure.
All right. But again, it's a relatively weak draft. I think it's going to be similar to the Ben McLemore draft that year. I think it's going to be similar to the Marquise Chriss, Yorgos Papayannis draft. I think it's going to be very similar to those 2 years. I don't think that there are a lot of players that are going to step in and start on NBA rosters at all. Matter of fact, I don't know if there is a player that would start on an NBA roster based on the things that I'm reading from people that I respect. Tell you what we'll do, Doug. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll take some phone calls right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Yes, sir.
339-1140 and 800-920-1140. And we check in with Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, so, Grant, I don't know if you remember, but we played – actually, I didn't play with you, but we played up at that McCuni tournament up at Catavadera. I think it was last year. Are you guys going back? Do you going to have it again this year, or are you guys not jumping in on that?
I have no idea because I don't know when it is yet, and I haven't started thinking about my golf for the summer. I normally play in the McCuni golf tournament every year. It's one of my favorite things to do is to be in anything that Taro Arai is involved in, but I don't know. It's February. The tournament normally – is in August. It's a little ways off.
Is it? Right. I was just thinking if you guys got your name in on it. But quick thing on my thought. I'm just going to let you guys know I'm a huge yeah. Kings fan, and I'm hoping they do well in the last 28 games. But everyone always talked about Marvin, and I love Marvin, don't get me wrong. But my question is, I don't really – he's been out since, what, December 28th now. What is that, almost 2 months? And no one's really accurate.
No, that's not that's not accurate. That's not that, no, that's not accurate. Okay.
When did he
came
go
back
out
and he came he came back and played, and his last game that he played in was the game in which he had, I'm doing this off the top of my head, was it 18 points and 15 rebounds in the overtime loss at Miami last month?
I believe so.
Right.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Okay. So we're approaching, what, almost another month
15
out.
And 15. Thank
has
you.
Anyone has anyone diagnosed the actual injury? Like, what's going
yes,
on?
Yes, he's had an MRI. He's seen foot specialist. They do know what the injury is. That's correct. He has a foot injury. They know what it is. He has seen one of the leading foot specialists in the nation. And today, the foot specialist, in conjunction with the Kings, said that he would be reevaluated in 3 weeks.
Okay, so it's not like a high ankle sprain where, and I get
no,
it. Like
it's a foot injury. It's a foot injury.
Okay, so it is a foot injury. Okay,
it's on the outside. It's an area on the it's an area on the outside of his foot, somewhere where it's the base of the small toe in that area in there on the right.
So he's going to reevaluate after 3 weeks from like today or last, or yesterday or
correct.
Something like that.
Today.
Okay. Oh, today. Yeah. Okay, great. So,
yes.
So he might be out for the rest of the year, is what we're probably thinking. Is
he
that
might
what
be.
You guys are feeling, or
you know, okay. I mean, if 3 weeks from now the doctor said, "Hey, you know what, you're good to go," and everything. No, I mean, Doug and I are on the same page here. If he can play in five games. He needs all the reps he can get.
Right. Right. Doug, have you ever had an injury like that? You're outside of the foot where you've been out for 3 weeks, come back from a boot, and then kind of just jump back in there and kind of see how you are? And is that something you've done in the past?
No, I've never.
Or had an injury?
Yeah, but tell Mike about being on the operating table and what you said to the doctor before they put you under.
You know, so I have had a boot on before because I've had multiple ankle injuries. But, you know, so when fans talk about, like, they act like the MRI is the end-all, and it is. It shows pretty much everything in there. But sometimes you just don't know what it is. And the reason I say that is I got multiple images of my ankle, and I was telling the doctor, like, look, man, I don't know, but I was about to go under. They were about to give me the gas, put me under, and I was going in for ankle surgery, and I pointed at my ankle, and I said, see this point right here. I said, just promise me. I know you're going in to shave the bone spurs. I get that. But you, while I'm under, you got to make sure and look right here, because whatever it is, this is where it's pain for me. And they were like, well, nothing's showing up on the imaging. So long story short, doctor goes in, takes a scalpel, runs with the tendon, and pulls right. out a piece of calcified bone that was like 3 centimeters. And that's what was causing all my pain. But nobody knew it. The imaging, it didn't show up in the imaging. So it just, man, the foot injuries, those they're different. And one thing that I never question is when you talk about injuries to players, because they know their body, like these are right. the highest end sports. They know it better than anybody. And whatever's going on with him, I'm just hoping that he gets better, because I think he is one hell of a talent, man.
But do you think maybe on the other side, he might be feeling great. He's still in a boot saying, hey, guys, I can kind of maybe go out and play. Can I maybe run on a little bit? And then they're just not letting him maybe go out and do that.
He went and saw a foot specialist. I mean, he's following the
you know,
he's following the instructions and the medical expertise of one of the top foot specialists in the country. That's what he's doing.
Gotcha. All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It. 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140.
I used to have that piece of bone. I had it in a plastic bag. It probably
is that right?
Probably pop up.
Should have put it on eBay.
You know what?
Somebody will buy it.
That's a damn shame, and you're right.
I guarantee you somebody would buy it.
Well, if I find it.
I'm not buying it.
Well, no, I didn't say you would buy it, but, you know.
I'm just putting it out there that somebody would, but it won't be me.
It's a piece of me. You want a piece of me? You want a piece of me?
Oh, my gosh.
A calcified piece of Mr. Christie. I'm telling you, Napes, that was – you know what he did? He took a – I'm sure it was sanitary.
Yeah.
But he took a red felt pen, and he made a quarter-size circle. And he said, right in there? I said, right there.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
When I came out, I still got the scar to prove it, but he pulled it out. Since then, your boy's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still wiggle a little bit. I got a little wiggle in me. Actually, I'm turning 50, so I got a dunk for 50.
When's your birthday?
May 9th.
You're going to be 50 on May 9th?
Yes, sir.
Wow, you're getting old, man.
I'm just cracking the seal. What the hell is wrong with you? You're old.
There's a lot of things wrong with me, but you're getting old.
Well, when you see me raise up and cock it back, boom, lay it down, you're going to say, oh, well, you know, he's 50, but he can still do it. I'm just saying.
Well, you haven't been able to beat me yet, and I'm 60.
Well, see, we're talking about golf. I'm going to get better at that as I get older. That's the key, isn't it? You know,
I hope so.
Well, I am too, man. It didn't happen these last couple of times out, man. Oof. But I'm working on it.
Let's get to Dan. Dan, you're on with Grant and Doug. Hello, Dan.
Hello. I'd like to get your opinion on the podcast from Sam Amick, what he said about Vivek not being able to get over drafting Luka. What I heard you say to fans who call up and bring this up is go be a Mavs fan. So
first of all, I don't agree with your assessment of what the article said. Okay, the article did not say that Vivek cannot get over the Kings passing on Luka Doncic. That's number one. Number two, the news as it pertains to the draft, in my opinion, is old news. Number three, it's also yet to be determined because we haven't seen Marvin Bagley enough to be able to say with any degree of certainty whether or not he is going to be a good player or not. I think he's going to be an all-star. Doug thinks he's going to be an all-star, but we could be wrong, but we don't know because we haven't seen him enough. Guys don't get hurt on purpose. And when I say go root for the Mavs, I mean that. If people are so infatuated with Luka and they can't get it out of their system, I do tell them to go root for the Mavs. And I don't say that in a condescending way. I say that to try to help an individual out. If they love Luka that much and they can't get over it, then go root for the Mavs. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that.
I think that Bagley's going to be a good player. I don't think he's going to be a good player here. He's going to go somewhere else and be a good player. Just because I don't think the front office, I don't think the fans are ever going to get over passing over.
So let's just say that's true. Let's say that Luka Doncic plays in the NBA for 15 years. So you're telling me for the next 13 years, fans are going to be in the same state of mind that they are now because Luka Doncic is not in Sacramento? Let me ask you this. What happens if Marvin Bagley turns to stay here and turns out to be a perennial all-star and the Kings actually go farther in the playoffs than the Dallas Mavericks do? Then what are people going to say?
I think me saying that he's not going to be an all-star, he's just going to be an average player, is closer to being true than what you say, really.
Well, that's fine. I don't know the answer to that any more than you do. That's my opinion and your opinion. We could both be wrong. He may not be an all-star and he may not be an average player. He may be a very good player, but I think he's going to be an all-star. But we'll find out. The great thing about all of this is barring a catastrophe where, you know, somebody loses their life or something like that or has a injury that prevents them from ever playing, we're going to find out the answer to this. That's the great thing.
Front row seat.
Because Marvin Bagley is 20 years old. You understand that, right? You know, Dan, that he's 20 years old, right?
Or we don't find out, and he turns out to be another Sam Bowie or something like that.
Same what?
Sam Bowie player.
Well, then you'll look back and go, gee, you know what? The Kings really made a big mistake back then. If that's the case, then you'll look back and go, boy, did the Kings make a horrible mistake back in 2019. If he ends up being Sam Bowie. What happens if he ends up being a five-time All-Star and the Kings win, you know, 55 or 60 games and Marvin Bagley's your best player? What are fans going to say then? Because that's also a scenario that could happen.
Yeah, but where do you get off saying that he's going to be an All-Star?
Dan, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. All right, Dan, I've only been watching the NBA up close and personal for 32 years, so my knowledge sucks. I don't know what I'm talking about. Doug, why don't you, as a guy that's played in the NBA for almost 15 years at the highest level, why don't you give this particular caller your observation of Marvin Bagley?
Yes. First of all, Dan, I haven't heard what your breakdown of Marvin Bagley is, besides just you don't think he's going to be that. First of all, at that size, at that athleticism, there are very, very few players in the NBA. I'm sure you can count them on one hand that has that type of package that Marvin Bagley has as a skill set in the toolbox. The kid can do every single thing on the floor. Now, does he need to improve in a lot of areas, shooting, different things like that? Yeah, but there are a lot of players that need to do that. I look at him as a Giannis Antetokounmpo type of, I don't know what he can be. Not Giannis, but I don't know what he can be. I could see him being Chris Bosh with the three-pointer, the post-up, turn-around, off-the-glass type of shot. Chris Bosh, if that's what he turns out to be, is probably going to be a Hall of Famer, and he's won three championships. So, and he was a perennial All-Star.
All right, Dan, thanks for the call. We'll be right back on Sports 1140. Grant Napier, Doug Christie,
339-1140,
800-920-1140, and we check in with Bobby. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, Grant. Hi, Doug. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
All this conversation seems – I think basketball is very historical and cyclical. And the argument with Luka Doncic and Marvin Bagley very much reminds me of Grant Hill – and Jason Kidd, when they came in the league together, they were drafted, I think, in 1990. Grant had a Duke. Jason Kidd had a Cal. Grant had foot injuries the start of his career. They could see the talent. They just couldn't keep him on the court. Jason Kidd was doing well and going to title games. But eventually, Grant Hill had a very nice career, lasted several years, and had a really good. And then it happened again with Kevin Durant and Greg Oden, and that situation didn't turn out as good. And so it just seems like this conversation comes up about, I don't know, once every 8 or 10 years or so. And it really is a wait-and-see game.
We're not going to argue whether Luka is a fantastic talent. I mean, he is.
How come Phoenix didn't take him?
Yeah, because now we can say he's a fantastic talent.
I know
speculative, meaning that.
Right, and the coach of the Phoenix Suns coached him in Europe.
And he's down there on the court right now. He's a Sacramento Kings
assistant.
Well,
I'm saying is, you know, I mean, everyone's making it seem like it was so clear cut. If it was so clear cut, how come Phoenix didn't take him?
Yeah, I'm totally with you.
How come Atlanta didn't take him?
Well,
I mean, technically they did.
Well, they traded him.
But, you know, my point is, why didn't they take him?
Because it's not as clear-cut, Grant. And I know everyone has their 2020 blinders on and Monday quarterback, but it's not that way, dude. When I looked at him, did I see, okay, this kid is super talented?
Yeah.
The question was always going to be, is his talent going to be able to translate to the NBA the way that we're seeing it translate in Europe?
And I believe part of the thought process, I hate to go over this still, I don't even know why we are, is how does he and De'Aaron Fox – fit on the floor together?
Well, I just said this to you yesterday. Oddly enough, I was watching the All-Star game,
yeah,
and he was a starter. And while I'm watching, I'm like, man, where the hell is Luka? Is he on the floor? And he was on the floor. I had to rewind it and look. But LeBron James was dominating the basketball. So when he wasn't dominating the basketball, he doesn't have the same impact. Now, with his IQ, could he learn how to probably do that? Yeah, I definitely think so. But as of right now, that's why you've seen a Dallas Mavericks team totally retool after they drafted Dennis Smith Jr. and traded away the pick that they picked the year before in the first round, because Luka needs the basketball to be as dominant as he needs to be.
All right, let's get to Will. Hello, Will.
Guys, how you doing this afternoon?
Good. How are you, Will?
Yeah, pretty good. Hey, I just want a little observation, and I don't agree or disagree. I mean, I play ball. I kind of have a feel for the difference between players. And Luka and Marvin are two different types of player. Luka,
yes,
he's European. His game is not based on athleticism, but rather skill set. And he's been playing professionally from a much younger age, so his game is developed and complete. Marvin, on the other hand, is raw. He's a big man. He's raw. He still is growing and has a ways to go and has to learn the skill sets as he grows, because most American guys who are athletic aren't taught skill set when they're young. And actually, I'm pretty impressed by what he does have, because most 20- come into the NBA are raw. I mean, let's be honest. That was the argument against Jaren Jackson coming here. Oh, he's too raw. I mean, I feel like you're seeing a lot of what you're going to see from Luka through his career. Not that he's bad. I mean, he's a very good player, of course. But he's not going to increase in skills so much as he's just going to mature more. Whereas Marvin, as he learns better skills as he gets healthy, you can't teach athleticism and 6'11". So he has the potential to be far more dominant when it comes to being the lead guy on a team as far as how you go in the playoffs, how you go, you know, head-to-head with other star players and such. I mean, I look at just simply, for example, when De'Aaron came in the second half of the game last year, Luke had been going off on us, and De'Aaron switched on to him and literally shut him out the second half. And I look at that, and I've made this point to a few people. Long, fast guards can stop Luka because he's not athletic enough to get around them or shoot over them. Whereas nobody's really ever going to stop Marvin in his prime when it comes down to it, if he is what he looks like he's going to be. And I think we got a lot of time before we can make a true judgment, but that's just my take on, you know, 40-plus years of ball.
Hey, man, nothing that you said I really disagree with. I agree. Marvin hasn't even – he barely picked the bottle up, so he hasn't definitely cracked the seal. I mean, I'm talking reverse pivots, jab steps, just a nice little Tim Duncan angle glass shot, understanding where to post up, and when someone moves you off, what do you do? You know, can I start the break with the ball? Can I bring the ball the whole way down the court? Dribble handoffs. I go on and on about the things that this kid doesn't know, because you're right. Luka's been a professional for a long time. And with that, when you're playing against grown men, you learn.
Career.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and
yes,
I mean, that's a huge difference, especially when you're playing. I remember, you know, it, being a young man trying to play with men, 20-something-year-old men, which is what Luka was doing, 20- and 30-year-old men. That's a lesson. That's a teacher. I mean, it's a big, big difference than playing with high school and college kids. You know,
right,
where,
thanks,
where
you're – yep.
Have a good one.
Thanks, buddy. You too. Eric is next. Hello, Eric.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
What's happening, Eric?
Hey, I'm stoked to go to the Kings game tonight. I'm looking forward to watching Ja play, and I know our team's been playing a lot better as of late. What should I be looking for tonight?
I think one hell of a matchup at the point guard position. Also, I think defensively, can the Kings slow these guys down? They get out in the open court. They also are number one at points in the paint. Can the Kings recognize if they aren't? Because last time, for a few games, they had been knocking down their threes. If they aren't knocking down their threes, do they recognize that there are other ways to win a basketball
and
game?
Very often after the All-Star break, one team will come out very flat. It's been my experience. Again, remember, these teams haven't played since a week ago Wednesday, and it's now Thursday. Do not be surprised if you see some erratic play early in this game.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could say
all right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks, guys.
But you're going
to
the game tonight? I'll tell you this. Okay. You're going to the game tonight. I know what I'm looking at tonight. I'm really curious to see how Jabari Parker is going to play. He's going to play tonight for the Kings coming off the bench. And I want to see, you know, I'm excited to see how he looks and how many minutes he'll get.
Yeah, what do you guys think? He's going to be on a minute restriction, or?
I would probably say so, but I think also he's the type of player that if he gets a game going, I think Luke will trust him enough. He's seen him through a few practices. But I would say 15, and then if he gets it going, maybe 20, someplace in there.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Hey, I got one more question for you guys. As far as Jabari goes,
sir.
I know he's a ball scorer for sure. What do you guys think about his defense? You think he's going to fit right in? I know last couple of games our defense has gotten a lot better. It looks a lot better.
Yeah, you know, for Jabari, he's not a lockdown defender, so that's not what we're looking for. But I really think on the defensive end, for a lot of the Kings players, it's not about individual lockdown defense. You got a couple out there. You know, De'Aaron Fox, I think, is one. I think Corey Joseph is another. I think Kent Bazemore is the guy. But up and beyond that, it's about team defense and high-level communication and being where you're supposed to be. Do I think he can fit in on the team defensive side of things? Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thanks,
Thank
guys.
You, Eric.
Appreciate it.
Scott is next on Sports 1140. Hey, Scott.
Hi, guys. Hey, Doug, the question's for you. Josh Jackson, who plays with the Grizzlies,
yeah.
He was like a number two pick, and he was a really good college player. I'm sorry.
Number four pick. Yep.
Number four, Kansas, I'm sorry. Yep.
That's okay.
Anyway, good college player. What do you think the disconnect has been and why he doesn't get on the court and just his career so far?
You know, I think that he may have gotten handed the keys a little early down in Phoenix, and he wasn't the only one. They did it with Marquise Chris. You know, they've done it with some players, and obviously the development down there isn't high level. One of the things that was a question mark was he going to be able to knock down the three? And oddly enough, between him and Marquise Chris, I think that they allowed them to shoot that shot even when they weren't able to knock it down. But I think that he can find a niche in this league with that size and that athleticism, especially being a lockdown defender, and then allow his game to develop. I think there's a place in the league for a kid like that. He's just now got to find his way, because it's not going to be, at this point, it's not going to be, I'm the number four pick and I'm probably going to be a max player and I'm averaging 25. That's not going to be his road to success. He's going to now have to find a different way to do that. And I think that Memphis brought him along correctly, because I don't know if you know this, but when he got traded there, they sent him to the G League.
Yeah, he was in the G League. Yeah. He's only played in 7 games this year.
Yeah, so that message to him was, yep, we ain't about them games. You don't have to earn what you get here. And that, I think, is a good message, because does he have the talent? Yeah, he has the talent.
I don't know if he has the maturity. I don't know if he has all of the
– And that was one of the questions about him.
Right. And so, to me, that's one of his issues. And he can't put the ball in the ocean. He's an absolutely horrible shooter. So
he just got to get – he got to get to Malibu.
Right. Yeah.
If he's in Malibu,
there you go.
Got a better chance.
Well, do what you got to do, but he can't shoot the ball to save his life. He had some good games against Sacramento, because he's a slasher and a scorer.
And this is what I said about the Kings tonight. Realize if your shot isn't falling, and for him, look, when the ball swings to him, do I want him to shoot the three? Yeah, because this might be your night.
Right.
But if you miss it, the ratio has to be, if I miss one, the next three I'm driving. And that's learning the game of basketball.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. The Kings 21-33, Memphis at 28-26, currently eighth in the Western Conference, 6 games in the NBA tonight. The Kings' final home game for, the month of March, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the month of February. I think the next home game is Detroit on the 1st.
Yeah, and I believe that Jerry Reynolds is going to be with you pretty soon.
Oh, maybe,
no, you know what? I think it's the end of March. He's for a long streak. Yeah, so – you know, we're winding this down, Grant. I mean, you got 28 games. Well, you and I have talked. 14-14 is what I'd like to see them. That's 500 basketball.
Yeah.
I think that's a growth.
Yep.
I mean, if you look at it today, it looks like 500 basketball is going to fill that 8 spot right around
there. I would agree. I think last year it was 48. It's nowhere near 48 this year.
Yep. And
that's a good point.
So we'll see. We'll see what the Kings can bring to the dance.
All right, let's get to Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Michael?
Oh, good to hear from you guys. I just wanted to say I heard your show yesterday, and I think it's okay if Kings fans are bummed out and want to blame somebody. That's just normal. We were trending up, and we're kind of trending down. My main thought is I'm not exactly an expert like you guys, and looking into the draft, what is our weak spot? Is it the 4 spot? Is that the forward?
No, we got
Nemanja Bjelica. We also got
Marvin Bagley.
The last thing.
What is our weak
always
spot, then?
You know, always.
If we were going to draft for need, what would it be?
I mean, you could go, depending on what happens with Corey Joseph, you can go back up point guard. You always elite size at the wing positions, I think, are something that you can do. The Kings have pieces. I think that they are going to not necessarily – the draft isn't necessarily going to be the thing that puts the Kings to where all
not
Kings
this
fans
year.
Want them to be.
Not this draft.
Yeah. Could you find somebody that you develop over the next year or two, and they feel like, for instance, if you drafted a 3 that was behind Harrison Barnes, and he taught him how to work, and he had elite size at that wing position, and he can shoot the basketball and do all the 3-and-D things, that is a position that you could definitely fill in the draft.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense to me because I like the combination of Fox and Joseph. I hope they don't let Joseph go. I think those two guys work well together. So that answers my question. I think it's the backup three spot.
Yeah, I mean, but if you find and locate a backup point guard for when Corey Joseph isn't here, that can fill behind De'Aaron, that is a possibility. I mean, you just you gotta think ahead and think outside the box. We want everyone to play forever and be a part of the team. It's just not the way that it goes, though.
Okay, thanks, guys. I'm a Kings ticket holder, but my daughter's going tonight with her boyfriend, so root them on. Hope they kick Memphis's butt.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate you, man.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Grant Napier and Doug Christie. We're going to be speaking with Eric Hasseltine. He is the radio voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. Again, the Grizz with a record of 28-26. Listen, there will always be a player in this draft, just like any draft, that turns out to be a guy that surprises the heck out of you, all right? But with that said, almost everyone that covers college basketball and does NBA scouting for a living say that this is a very weak draft.
Yeah, and listen, I watch college basketball, so I see talent out there. Depending on what it is that you need, and I think that the Kings are in a position where you're going to be able to probably sign you a free agent or two that are going to fill some voids that you need. Does that player that you get in this year's draft have the ability to develop them? We've seen it with other teams as they develop players. Pascal Siakam comes to mind, who's now an all-star and a max player that was in the G League, and they brought him along. So, yeah, you just got to identify the talent, and then, Grant, I say it all the time, the biggest thing in today's game is player development. And I'm not just talking about skills. I'm talking mind, body, basketball. You got to develop all three aspects.
All right. If you want to call, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Eric Hasseltine is the radio voice of the Grizz. He'll be joining us at 5 o'clock. Then we'll get you to game night at 5:30, the pregame show at 6:30, and all the action at 7 o'clock. I guess I'm going solo tomorrow on the show, as you're going to be flying down to L.A. with the team. I will be flying after the show. So we will meet up down in Los Angeles. And then it's a matinee on Saturday. And what a emotional Monday it's going to be down at the Staples Center with the Kobe Bryant Memorial.
Yeah, that's going to be it's going to be powerful, man. Obviously, rest in peace to Kobe, Gianna, and all seven of the people who unfortunately lost their lives in a helicopter crash. But Los Angeles was Kobe's town, synonymous obviously with the Lakers. Was drafted, traded with Vlade Divac by none other than the great Jerry West, who believed in the kid early on. And he set a tone not only for himself, for the organization, but a competitive edge that now known as Mamba mentality that is going to live for forever.
You can say that again, forever. Yes, forever.
Well, because there's so many different – it wasn't just basketball.
Right.
It was soccer.
Yep.
It was football.
Yep.
It was tennis. It was golf. I mean, we at the Waste Management, you and I. I mean, we watched. There was Tony Finau. There was Justin Thomas. There was different guys. And I don't even think Justin Thomas is a Nike guy, which, you know, for some people, they're like, what do you mean by that? I mean, Kobe Bryant jerseys now are Nike jerseys. So for an Adidas guy, for instance, to put it on, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
They have to get an okay for that.
Right.
But that just shows the respect because Kobe started out in Adidas. And
that's
Trae
pretty
Young,
amazing, isn't it?
Trae Young did the same thing. He had the Mamba Academy thing on his sneakers.
And you're right. That is not just something that
– no.
You
got to get the okay from the highest levels of those organizations because it's business and it is what it is. But I love the respect not only that they showed at the All-Star game, but this, as you mentioned, Grant, Monday, which is the 24th, obviously the numerical significance there. It's going to be a powerful, powerful event.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, it really is. I think it's, what, 10? Is it 10 in the morning on Thursday?
I believe so, yeah.
On Monday.
On Monday, yes.
Yeah.
I believe so.
So the Kings will go to Los Angeles, San Francisco to take on the Warriors. Then they will hit the road for a back-to-back against Oklahoma City a week from tonight. And then a week from tonight, we get to fly to the beautiful metropolis of Memphis, check into the 1.5-star hotel Westin right next to Beale Street, and get ready to take on the Grizzlies on Friday.
I'm not messing with you, man. Come on, man. Why you want to do Memphis like that?
Well, the good
that?
News is when we get there, the city will be it will be.
Hey, just, it's a back-to-back.
That's, I love it. It's great.
Huh? Does that work for you?
Oh, it more than works for me. It's great.
I mean, listen, we're going to get there about 2 in the morning.
It's great. No, we'll get there before 2 in the morning.
Oh, we will?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Midnight?
No, a little after midnight. Go look on a map, would you please?
Well, that's not the point. I mean, you're saying between 12 and 2, Grant.
Game starts
I mean,
at
damn.
7 o'clock. Game starts at 7 o'clock.
All right.
All right. We'll have wheels up at 11. It's an
hour
flight.
Well, hold on. You're maybe overtime.
All right. So we'll 11:05.
Excuse me. Okay. It was double overtime.
11:10. All right. Okay. Let's get to Jalen. Hello, Jalen.
Grant, Dougie Fresh, how you guys doing?
What's up, Jalen?
What's happening, man?
Good, good. Hope our 1996 Cowboys caller Stanley yesterday. What's up, Stanley? Hope you're listening, my man.
Yeah, right? Him and Bill Clinton.
Speaking of, where's our friend, our other Cowboy friend, Rudy, been, man? I haven't heard from him since about week 12 when the Cowboys started downfalling. But Rudy, if you're listening, man, I hope to hear from you soon about the XFL Cowboys, my guy.
There you go.
Hey,
what else is going
Grant,
on?
On a serious note, when you guys are down in L.A., you guys are going to the Kobe contribute as a full team?
I don't know the answer to that. I really don't yet. I will not be there because I'm going to do the show in San Francisco on Monday, but I don't know if the entire team is going. I really don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Grant, if next year we come out, everyone's healthy, Bagley plays all 82 games, Fox plays 82 games, we have a couple injuries here and there like every other team, but our main core stays healthy. And we don't make playoffs. Is that considered a failure?
Well, then there's going to be then Vladdy will have failed at his job if that scenario is true. And now, if the Kings are to win, 49 games and don't make the playoffs, then I would. But if they, win less than half their games and don't make the playoffs, then it's a failure. Absolutely, no question about it.
Okay.
And by the way, Vladdy would be the first one to step up and say that. I won't need to say that. Vladdy will say that.
Yeah, I agree. I think so as well. I just wanted to get your
not.
Your
it's
take,
not that I know. Think. I can 100% guarantee it.
Yeah. I got the remedy.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to see what your thought was if we were.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. You have a good afternoon. What's the remedy?
I got the remedy. They need to come back with our jerseys, man. I mean, the black jersey, the purple one.
Yeah, because, that really is going to help the team.
It is.
Yeah,
the last, when you put those on, Grant.
Yeah, that's going to make all the difference in the world.
Damn
maybe,
right.
You know what? They might go 82-0 with those jerseys.
No, we didn't go 82-0. We went 61-21. So that's a lot better. I'm just saying. Let's go.
Uh-huh.
Well, all these other jerseys, man. What is this, man? They didn't win that many games in these jerseys. Dude, get the right freaking jerseys, throwbacks. Let's get them on the guys, and you watch what happens.
Why don't
okay?
you work on that?
I will.
You got connections. Could you work on that? Make it happen. Make it happen, D.C. Make it happen. All right, Eric Hasseltine, the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, next.